Welcome to ABC Healing School Semester 2. Tonight, the subject is the Prayer of Authority. Amen?
Amen.
Who here wants authority?
Amen.
Okay, you know, because Jesus said so, it belongs to every one of us. Let's look at the overview. Jesus delegated all his power and authority unto us for us to use with boldness here on the earth and in the heavenlies. Since Jesus has already given us the authority, we cannot ask God to do for us what he has commanded us to do for ourselves. Now, that's a very profound statement. And if you all got it, we could go home. We've had church. But we need to explore this a little farther. Because, you know what? There are certain things that only God can do. We can't. Those are his responsibilities. But then he has delegated certain responsibilities to us, and you know what? He won't do ours. He'll do only his part. We can't do his. We can do only our part. He won't do our part. He'll do only his. So we need to learn what's his part and what's our part, because there's always a partnership in the things of God. And we do have a part to play. Christianity is not about just floating along with the dove on your shoulder and thinking, okay, que sera, sera, what will be, will be. Okay, God, zap me when you want to zap me. Okay, God, where are we going? It isn't like that. There is responsibility for us. There are things we need to say and things we need to do in order for God's perfect will to be enacted in our lives. Okay, so let's take a look at dominion. A, Webster's definition of dominion is sovereignty, rule, and supremacy. Okay, that's all pretty straightforward, pretty strong. Now, we know that God gave dominion to man through Adam, Genesis 1, verses 26 and 28. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. The image of God created he them. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over all the fish of the sea and over all the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. We think of God as being in charge, right? We think of him as having that authority and dominion. But it says here that he made us in his image and his likeness, and he is passing on his authority and dominion to us. So what happened? Adam's disobedience turned dominion of this world over to Satan, the one who became our enemy. Luke 4, verses 5 and 6. And the devil, taking him, meaning Jesus, up to a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto Jesus, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them. For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. So here's Satan saying, yes, I am giving authority and dominion. All this power he's offering. Why? Because of Adam's disobedience, Satan became the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4 verifies that. Starting with verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Here it bluntly says, 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan is the god of this world. Now, God, yoo-hoo! Because then God came along and sent Jesus. And Jesus paid the price to buy it all back for us. Ephesians 1, especially verses 20 and 21, but I'll begin with 19. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead? Let me stop a minute here. Think about that. The Holy Spirit that resides on the inside of you and me is that same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, don't you think that gives us a little bit of authority and dominion and power? Amen. Resident on the inside of us. Okay, so keep that in mind as I continue. And he set Jesus at God's own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality. And if you've heard Pastor Matthew teach, this far is like far, far, far above. It's so far above, we can't even quite reach it. But it's way up there, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that can be named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. You notice how God's good at absolutes, all and every. You know, there are no exceptions in his way of doing things. When he says, this is how it is, that applies to all and every. And so we got to keep that in mind too. Ephesians 2:5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So just in case you think you're really sitting here on the earth, this is proof that you are sitting with Jesus Christ up there, far, far, far above all other authority and dominion and power in the heavenly places. That is the place that he has bought and paid for us. It's the place where he expects us to be. Do I see anybody excited?
Amen.
Hmm? I think you're all looking at me like, are you sure? Yes. The Word of God says so. We're sure. And when he talks about authority, this is what the Bible says. This is our manual to living. The Bible is our manual to living. And God talks about authority and dominion and power. Oh, I tell you, this belongs to us. This is something we should be getting excited about, folks. This isn't namby-pamby. It isn't floating on a cloud. You know, this is reality. But again, it takes our partnership. So, let's see. It begins with the name of Jesus. All power and authority was given to Jesus. Matthew 28:18 makes this very clear. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and on the earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now you understand, these are his last words, as quoted by Matthew, before he's leaving the earth. Mm. Now, don't you think the last words that he said would be very important for us to pay attention to listen to see how it applies to us? Well, so let's go back then. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. All power in heaven and on the whole earth. Wow. Okay, that sounds really great. But then he says, go ye therefore. So what's he saying? He's giving us his power and authority. And all we have to do is use his name. You know, if you had a lockbox at a bank, you have a key, right? And the only way to get into it is you need to have that key. Without that key, you cannot get in. So if you've got something really, really important in that lockbox, you want to be sure you know where that key is so that you can get into it at any time, right? Okay, now, the name of Jesus is a better key, a more important key than the key to that lockbox, because there's nothing that you could put in that lockbox that would be as powerful, as amazing, as wonderful as what Jesus has done for us. And what he's done for us is give us his authority. We picture him walking the earth and taking authority and taking dominion, right? Well, he's not walking the earth now except through us. So we're the ones that have to exercise that authority. If we don't do it, it's not going to get done. The world's just going to, as I've heard my husband use the term, go to hell in a handbasket if we don't speak up and do something. So all authority has been vested in the name of Jesus, and Jesus is that name above every name, every name. Philippians 2. Verses 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He became one of his creation, right? And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. And what is that name? Jesus. Yes, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of things in heaven and things on the earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. That name above every name. Jesus. 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 And it says above everything. He is Lord and has authority, and we inherit that authority above Satan. Ephesians 1:22, starting with verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand, where? In the heavenly places. That's where we said Jesus is, right? In the heavenly places. And where are we? We have been set in the heavenly places also with him. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. So if the devil is under Jesus' feet, where is he to us? He's under our feet,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Got that?
Yeah.
Under our feet. That means he can't do anything. We've got, you see these pictures of a vanquished foe, and the warrior that is the winner has the vanquished foe down on the ground with his foot on the guy's neck who has been vanquished. And that's the concept of the devil being under our feet. He's a vanquished foe. He's been defeated by Jesus, and we need to enforce that victory through the authority he has given us in his name. Romans 16:20 says, "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." Wow. That's pretty powerful. Under our feet, where he belongs. And if he's not under our feet, we need to put him back down there, because that's where he belongs. Nowhere else. So God has given us authority over demons, devils, and evil spirits. In Mark 16:17-18, "And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name," and that name is what?
Jesus.
"In my name," in Jesus' name, "shall we cast out devils. We shall speak with new tongues." Well, we've been doing that already, right? "And they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them." It reminds me of the story of the priest that was teaching. And he got done with the teaching, was tired, was thirsty, and everybody had dispersed by this time. So he sees an urn, a coffee urn, and he thinks, "Oh, man, I could use a cup of coffee right now." So he pours himself a cup from the urn and starts to drink it, and goes, "Ah, yuck! This has got to be the worst tasting coffee I have ever had in my life." And one of the helpers came in just at that time and said, "What are you doing?" He says, "Well, I was just having a cup of coffee." She says, "Oh my gosh, it's already been cleaned out. That's cleaning fluid you just drank." And he's like, "No wonder it tasted so bad." But was he concerned? You drink any deadly thing? They said the poison center was like quite a ways away, and there's no time for him to get there. So they said, "Well, what are you going to do?" He says, "Going to go up to my room, read the word, go to sleep." And he woke up just fine the next day. And this is an example of this scripture. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And see, he was not in fear about it either. He knew the word of God. He knew the promises that belonged to him. So his authority was saying, "Okay, fine. I'm going to study the word, and I'm going to go to bed." And he knew that he was going to be just fine. "And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Now, it doesn't say that they'd be instantly healed, although that's always a possibility. But you know that it might take time, and that's okay too. The idea is the end result, the recovery, right? Luke 10:19-20, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing, that means no thing, zero, zip, zilch, nothing shall by any means hurt you. You know, we need not fear being hurt by the enemy, because God promises when we're walking in the Spirit, when we're following Him, when we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, we're doing our part, there's no fear because nothing can hurt us. Verse 20, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, which makes it very clear that they are, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That ultimately is the more important thing. But we get to the more important thing by getting through this authority and dominion over devils, demons, and evil spirits right here, right now. That's how we get to fulfilling our names being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, we also have authority and dominion above sickness, disease, infirmity, and pain. This is, after all, healing school, right? But what have we learned? That the principles that we're learning for healing apply to the rest of our lives. These are a lifestyle, principles of lifestyle, a way of living, a way of thinking, a way of speaking, God's way in getting the job done. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You know, that's a pretty bold statement if you really understand what it's saying. Jesus went about healing all that were oppressed by the devil. What does that tell you? The devil is the oppressor. The devil is the one that brings sickness, disease, infirmity, and pain. It's not from God. You know, some Christians unfortunately think that sometimes God sends sickness to punish them for something, or to make them, draw them closer to Him somehow. And I never understood quite how that would work that way. But no, all this junk comes from the devil. The book of James says that God is a good God, and every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there's no shadow of turning, no variableness. He's so dependable. He's so good. There's all light and no darkness in our God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. For God was with him. So if God is with us and God anoints us with the Holy Ghost and with power, let me see a show of hands. How many of us have the Holy Ghost? Well, every single hand went up. And I know on the internet, same thing. So God has anointed us with the Holy Ghost and with power, right?
Amen.
And so now it's up to us to go about doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil, for God is with us now. Praise God. Okay, we have power and authority over poverty and lack. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty you might be rich. This is part of the great exchange. All the horrible things he took upon himself so that we could have all the benefits, all the good stuff. And prosperity and well-being are all part of his plan for our lives because we're God's kids. Amen?
Amen.
So how do we use this authority? Back to Mark 16, verses 15 through 18. In Jesus' name, he said, go and do. Mark 16, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Verse 17, And these signs shall follow them that believe. Believers, anyone?
Yes.
Okay. All those that said they had the Holy Ghost, their hands going up and say, yep, I'm a believer. Okay, so pay attention. These signs shall follow them that believe. We are them that believe, right? In my name, in the name of Jesus, shall we cast out devils? We shall speak with new tongues. We shall take up serpents. And if we drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt us. We shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. One thing that's important though, in my name, you know, Christ is not his name. That is his title. It'd be like I'd say Mr. or Mrs. or Pastor. These are all titles. But the name that is above every name is Jesus. And that's a name we need to keep on our lips. It's a name we need to speak frequently. It's not in the name of Christ. It's not in the name of the Lord. It's in the name of Jesus. People need to hear the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There's no power in Christ. There's no power in the title. There's no power in the Lord. He is the Lord, and that is mighty, and that's awesome, and Jesus is Lord. That if we just say, in the name of the Lord, you know, I could be saying in the name of an ant, would have the same power, right? I mean, that sounds ridiculous, but we've got to use the name of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Amen. Beautiful name of Jesus. Okay, now, 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are ambassadors of heaven, so we get to act in the name of Jesus. You know, an ambassador is a representative, right? We see ambassadors from one country to another country, and the embassy where they are situated is actually part of that home country. If you have somebody from another country coming here to the United States with an embassy, let's say from England, okay? That embassy is actually English territory. It is on United States soil, but it is considered legally English territory. And so, keeping that in mind, that is our privilege as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, where we establish ourselves. This is heaven, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Right? We're establishing that right where we are. I think too often we get so wrapped up in the things of this world that we kind of forget that. But we need to remember we are ambassadors of heaven. A great honor, a great privilege, a great responsibility, but a great power available to us. So we act on behalf of Jesus as his representatives on earth. And 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, for the anointed one and his anointing. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. So we want to be representatives that bring honor and glory to the kingdom of God. We know that John 14:12 says that greater works that Jesus did will we do. Wow. And we thought Jesus did the best of all, the most of all, that he's our example, right? That we all follow Jesus. But he makes it very clear here. Let's read the verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. Why? Because Jesus left the earth to go to the Father, and he gave us his power and authority. So we can look at ourselves as Christians that follow the Lord as a bunch of little Jesuses walking the earth, doing his will, doing the Father's will, being ambassadors for the kingdom of God. So we need to expect that we can do all the things that Jesus did, and we can do greater works. And you think, greater? What could we do that's greater? Well, I'll tell you what, it's going to become obvious if it hasn't already, because there's never been a time like the one that we're living in right now. And God's giving us the power to be victors and overcomers, to make it through the maze, the minefield of these last days. We need the guidance of the Holy Spirit to take us through step by step and show us where the mines are in this field in which we're living, so we can avoid the mines and make it victoriously from here until the return of Jesus. So he says, command in my name. And that name again is what?
Jesus.
Okay, John 14:13-14. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it, or make it. If you love me, keep my commandments, which you can accomplish by living in the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I have a note here, Strong's Concordance, G154, ask. So from John 14, when he says, ask anything in my name, this is an ask such as a demand for something that is due you. We have the right, and we're not demanding of God. He's ready, willing, and able to bless us. It's the devil that's trying to keep it away from us. It's trying to block it, trying to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his MO. That's what he knows. That's what he does. Pretty predictable. But he's the one. Our enemy is the one who's trying to keep it from us. So we need to demand of him that which is our due. You know, it's kind of like you have a job, you're working for a company, and when you agreed to work for them, you work 40 hours a week and we pay you X number of dollars, right? Isn't that how it usually works? And what if you work those 40 hours and they didn't pay you? You have the right to demand that which is due to you. That's the concept. It belongs to you. It's been told it belongs to you. And you've got the right to go after it. So we're demanding something that is due to us, whereas other uses of the word G4441 means inquiry, and G2065 means ask as for a favor. But this one is to demand for something that is due you. Now, Jesus gives us authority over all the power of the enemy. Luke 10:17-19. Now, some of these verses we're reading more than one time. We need to think about it in the context of each point, because the Word of God is rich. The Word of God, we can spend a long time on even one verse. And so we just keep looking at it from these different perspectives. Luke 10:70. Returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. So they were ecstatic. Wow, look at this. We're going forth and ministering in the name of Jesus, and the devils are subject to us. We're able to command them, and they do what we tell them. Wow, they were pretty excited. But he said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So, yes, you can be excited that they bow to you, but you need to exercise that authority or they'll get the better of you. You don't want them eating your lunch. right? You want your lunch for yourself. You want the benefits of what God provided for us, of what Jesus paid such a dear price for. That belongs to us. He paid that price. We want him to be joyous that we're walking in the gifts that he has given us. But we have to receive them. And that's part of our responsibility, part of our part of the partnership. So Jesus gives us the power to bind and loose. Matthew 18:18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You notice that we initiate this. It says that the binding and loosing takes place on earth. That's us, guys. That's our responsibility. We're the ones that speak forth the binding and the loosing, and then God backs us up and carries it through in heaven. We have the best backup system ever in our God. Foundation of the prayer of authority is the prayer of faith. Anybody here familiar with the prayer of faith? Anybody been going through healing school semester one and semester two? Prayer of faith, prayer of faith, prayer of faith. Gee, how many times have we gotten a quiz on what is the prayer of faith? Okay, so here's your quiz. Where do you find the prayer of faith?
Mark 11:24.
Thank you. Mark 11:24. Very good. Now, what are the three elements of the prayer of faith? In order, preferably. Okay, I'm hearing them bits and pieces. Desire, pray, and what's the third one?
Believe and receive.
Okay, it's believe you receive when? When you pray. At the amen of your prayer, you believe that you have already received. And that's what the prayer of faith is about. And that is a foundation to actually, every one of the 12 types of prayer. It's all about faith. It says without faith, it's impossible to please God. Yes. So we've got to have faith. That's an integral part of every prayer. So regardless of the type, you must also believe that God hears your prayer. My goodness, why in the world would we pray if we didn't think God heard our prayer? Are we just doing it to impress people around us that might hear us? I mean, you know, it doesn't make sense. We believe God hears us, so we pray. We want to make a difference in people's lives, so we pray. And we believe that God hears us. Number three, you must pray. How? In the name of Jesus. Okay, and again, it's in the name of Jesus, not in the name of Christ, not in the name of the Lord. The name of Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I'm going to hammer that home because we've got to think Jesus. We've been so used to talking amongst ourselves and saying, well, the Lord this and the Lord that, and a lot of denominational churches have impressed a lot of us who came out of denominational churches with the name of Christ. They pray in the name of Christ. And that's not how it's done. In the name of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Just to make the point. Loud and clear. You must believe that it is done, accomplished, when you pray. Again, at the amen. So between the amen and the there it is, you've already believed that you've received it, and you act and speak accordingly. So let's look at some real life examples of using authority and understand that the prayer of authority is not a suggestion. Authority is exactly chop, chop. This is it. I command. Commands. Authority involves commanding. Okay? Very, very important. Commanding symptoms of sickness to leave your body. And let me tell you, when the symptom first hits your body, that is the time to get on the stick and command those symptoms to go. You don't wait a while. You don't see if it's going to develop into anything. Just the first little pain, just in the name of Jesus, go for me. You take authority right then and there. Anybody work outside and pull weeds? You know the difference between pulling a weed that's this big, especially after a fresh rain when the ground is very soft, or pulling a bush that's this big or a tree that's that big. It's easier when they're small. You nip, you've heard the term, nip it in the bud. Okay, that means act on it when it's still small, when it doesn't take your entire effort. It's a simple thing that we can all do. Okay, second one, casting down tormenting thoughts that are preventing sleep. Now, we've had a number of people have challenges in this area, and I'll tell you, there are scriptures that go along with how God wants us to have wonderful, sweet, deep sleep. So if you're not used to that challenge and it comes on and you're in bed and you're trying to go to sleep and you can't, you can start with doing the affirmation then that it might be a good idea the next day during the day to do it in preparation for the next night. But I've used this and it has really helped me. In the name of Jesus, my Abba Daddy gives his beloved Sarah deep, sweet sleep. And you say that a few times, and you get to where you don't remember that you were saying it because you're awakening the next morning. You find that it's a good way of going to sleep. Commanding protection from disasters. For example, hurricanes. Wow. Well, we just had an example of that with Dorian and Florida. I think many of you have already heard the testimony that we've had. You know, the newscasters and the weather forecasters were all saying that this hurricane, so let's say here's Florida and here's the hurricane coming up, and they pictured it as coming up about halfway and then going left. West, directly across the state of Florida. And if that was the eye of the storm, as big as this storm was, it would have encompassed the entire state in the middle of that storm. And we have ABCers and live streamers and family and friends that live in that state. And so we all got together and we prayed. And one of the things you want to do is be very specific what you are praying for. And one of the things was that there was a border along the eastern coast of Florida beyond which to the west the hurricane could not travel. It had to come to that border and that's it. No more. And you notice that it never made that west-hand turn. It never crossed the state of Florida. It continued up and up and up and away and out of the way. Amen?
Amen.
Well, we have a testimony regarding Jamaica and a hurricane that was going north, 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 and here's Jamaica, and here's the hurricane, and it's heading full-blown for Jamaica. And so a group of Jamaican Christians got together and prayed, and again, they laid out a very specific prayer. They determined a 50-mile barrier around the island of Jamaica. This hurricane came battling up, and then it got to that 50-mile point, and all of a sudden, it couldn't go straight anymore. The news reports
used the term, it lurched like a drunken sailor to the west. And it continued on that 50-mile barrier until it got to 50 miles past Jamaica, and then all of a sudden it just back to its original direction, straight north. But by this time it had already passed by Jamaica. They got, you know, anytime it passes by, there's some rain and some wind and so forth, but the brunt of the storm was gone. And then there was a typhoon that was supposed to hit in the Philippines, supposed to hit Metro Manila when Pastor Joshua and I were there 1 year for a Christian conference, which was starting at noon on Friday. Guess when they said the storm was supposed to hit Manila? Around noon on Friday. And we said, oh, no, you don't. Uh-uh. So again, we set the stage, we prayed, and told it to go elsewhere. The news report the next day described it as a hand reaching down from heaven, grabbing the storm and pushing it off in another direction so it hit another island. Yeah, that might have been a real hand from heaven, huh? In answer to our prayers. So you want to be bold, you want to be powerful, you want to command, and you want to be very specific. Okay, now. In the name of Jesus, I command the pain in my arm to leave. Again, that's jumping on the symptom right away. In the name of Jesus, earthquake, stop now, peace be still. I can think of at least two times, actually during services, when this has happened. When, you know, we're just talking and all of a sudden you feel the earth shaking and everybody's all at once, in the name of Jesus, earthquake, be still, peace, peace. The earthquake stopped. That's the kind of authority we have for where we are. We have authority over the area that we have dominion over. Okay? So that's good to keep in mind. Another situation was when there was a fire set during Santa Ana winds, and it was heading straight this direction, 40 miles an hour. It was funny how I found out. I was on the phone with somebody just chatting away, and my doorbell, ding, 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 ding. I thought, oh my God, it's 10:30 at night. You know, who could that possibly be? It was my neighbor from across the street in a robe and curlers. And I looked at her, and she just went like this. And I looked up, and the whole horizon was on fire. My answer to the phone was, I'll talk to you another time. Hung up. So, two of us got together and prayed and took authority over it. And we said, number one, the winds would stop. At this point, 10:30 at night, it was about 40 miles per hour. And we commanded the wind to stop. We commanded the fire to divide in two so the firemen could get a better handle on it. We commanded that there would be no damage to property, no animals, no people hurt by the fire at all. Well, as often happens, there are rumors that fly around. But by the next morning, it was obvious that everything we had asked for, we had gotten. And within 3 hours, 40 mile per hour winds settled down to just nothing. It was just totally peaceful. And that was great. You know, you take authority and you expect it. In that case, it was a combination of the prayer of authority and the prayer of agreement, because there were two of us, spiritful believers, agreeing together and commanding this to be so. Well, you know, Jesus commanded the wind and the waves, right? And he said, greater things would we do. Here's one example. In the name of Jesus, I bind every demon affecting my mind. I speak peace. We know that in the name of Jesus, we have the mind of Christ. Now, Satan has the right to put thoughts in our mind. It's up to us to analyze, is this from God or not? And if it is from God, we want to act on it. If it's not, then we want to get rid of the thought. Don't speak it. Don't give it life. Don't give it strength. Just go God's way. In the name of Jesus, I command that dog to stop barking. You ever had a neighbor with a noisy barking dog and they just go incessantly? Well, you've got the right to command the dog to stop barking. In the name of Jesus, I bind the demons which are harassing that baby, and I speak peace over the baby to replace the crying. Ah, yes. Pastor Joshua and I and another ABC-er were at a restaurant one time, and this family had a little girl, I'm guessing about, I don't know, 6, 7 maybe. Oh my goodness, talk about a spoiled brat. She was in, I don't want that, I want that, you know? She was disrupting everybody at the restaurant. And so we bound, not the little girl. We don't do witchcraft. We don't take authority over other people. We took authority over the demons that were influencing the little girl. Very, very important. And we didn't cast them out either, because we don't have, we might have the right to do it, but we don't want to do it because that's dangerous. We just simply bound them and told them to shut up. And they did, and she did, and everybody enjoyed the rest of their lunch. Remember when something comes up suddenly, expected to be demonic. I love an example Pastor Joshua had of, he had a pain in his left ankle, and he commanded it, and the next thing he knew it was on his right knee. And then it was his left thigh, and it just kept, you know, jumping around. Here, oh, there's a pain here, a pain there. Oh, come on. We need to recognize when the devil's playing games with us, because we need to get back at him. Because we have the authority to. Jesus gave us that authority. So if we can recognize what the devil is doing, then we can jump on it and nip it in the bud, right? Amen. Okay, now, I do have some other testimonies which I think are pretty powerful. In another state in which we were ministering, there was a couple that was in a car that was run over by a semi tractor trailer and dragged, I think it was like 50 feet, something like that. And they were in really, really bad shape. She came up for prayer. Neck brace, back brace, walker in which she was barely hanging on. She couldn't stand for very long. The line was long for her to wait for prayer, so they had to put a chair there for her. So she was very weak and very much in pain. And when you pray, be healed in the name of Jesus. She went down on the ground, and she was there for 20, 30 minutes. It was a long time. The Lord was really working on her body. And then all of a sudden, she just jumped up, totally, completely healed. So healed that there were people talking to Pastor Joshua off in another part of the room. And so then she wanted to go and talk to him. And she just went over and she just stood in line and waited to her turn. Totally healed because we commanded the authority. And needless to say, she no longer needed the neck brace. She no longer needed the back brace. She took them both off. And I think she forgot about the walker because she walked over on her own accord to the other part of the room. So got rid of all those things. And it was just such a joy. She was really excited? Wouldn't you be?
Yes.
My goodness. Then there was an opportunity we had to participate in a Persian prayer meeting. And these were people that were born in Persia, which is the old name for modern-day Iran. But these were American citizens. They were born Muslim, most of them, but they had converted to Christianity. Now, a few of them were raised like a Coptic Catholic type of situation, but these were believers. And they were just so precious. And they invited us to come and speak to them, and we spoke, we shared, and then we wanted to pray for them. And they said, oh, yes, please do. And there was this one lady who had had severe back pain for 7 years. And nothing the doctors had done had alleviated her pain or made things any better. So she really wanted prayer for that. And again, the prayer of authority, be healed in the name of Jesus. And she went back. Now, she wasn't down for so long, but she also got up totally healed. And she was doing this, and she, oh, my gosh, I haven't been able to do that in 7 years. You know, she was super excited. So that was very precious. Now, here's one where the prayers get very specific again. That one was easy. It's be healed in the name of Jesus, right? But some years ago, this goes back quite a long ways, I had had some back challenges. And I was president of a business network. And I had a meeting to go to. And as the president, I'm the one that led the meeting. And guess what that means? I'm standing up, I'm sitting down, introducing somebody else, and they get done and I stand up, then I introduce the next person, then I sit down. So I'm up and down through this entire meeting. Well, for anyone who's ever been challenged with back pain, you don't want to be moving around a whole lot. This thing of getting up and getting up and getting down can be very challenging. So, from the beginning, I said, okay, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And I took authority, saying, body, line up with the Word of God. Back, line up with the Word of God. Pain, go. Be healed in Jesus' name. Okay, and I am going to be like the lepers. I'm going to walk it out. I'm going to go. I had not experienced the healing yet. But I'm going to go to that meeting, and I said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, this is my authority. There will be no exhibit of pain. Nobody will know that I am being challenged. Nobody will see it. Nobody will suspect it. I'm not going to say anything, and they're not going to see anything. Just totally put a hedge of invisibility there. And do you know, that's how it went. And I'm not surprised. It was what I expected. Nobody said anything. By the end of that day, I was probably 80% healed. By the next day, totally 100%. Had I stayed in bed, had I called in and said, oh, I can't come, I'm being challenged, and so forth, what do you think would have happened? I would have been challenged for a long time. Probably days, maybe weeks, who knows? But I didn't wait around to find out. I just said, I've been healed and I'm going forth. You make a decision. You follow through. You take authority. You get very specific with your prayers. Okay, now dispelling men's traditions. What the Bible says. The Bible says, you cast out demons Mark 16:17. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. What's that name?
Jesus.
Thank you. In the name of Jesus shall they cast out devils and speak with new tongues. Amen?
Amen.
Cast out demons. Okay, you do it. Of a wonderful example here with Kenneth E. Hagin. There was a time when he was very privileged to have a face-to-face talk with Jesus. It's like, wow, would that be so awesome? So here he is, he's sitting down, here's Jesus, and they're having a nice conversation, and Jesus is sharing some things with him, when all of a sudden, a demon jumped in between the two of them. And you can imagine some kind of a cartoon figure or something, he's going, he's making noises, moving around, he's just agitating, and Kenneth Hagin's trying to hear what Jesus is saying. He doesn't read lips and he can't figure out exactly what he's saying. He can't hear him anymore because this demon is so loud and so obnoxious. And he's like, Jesus, Jesus, stop this thing. Jesus, get him out of here. Jesus, you know, and the Lord wasn't doing anything about it. He was just continuing his talk as if the demon weren't there. And Kenneth Hagin's getting very aggravated and very frustrated. I want to hear what Jesus has to say. And finally, he just got mad enough. He said, demon, in the name of Jesus, get out. And all of a sudden, he was just, he was gone. Just that fast. But until he said it and did it with authority, the demon, well, why didn't Jesus do it? It's not Jesus' responsibility. He has given us his power and authority. He was trusting Kenneth Hagin to be the one to exercise his part of the partnership. Jesus had already done his part. He had paid the price to defeat the devil and passed on that power and authority to Kenneth Hagin. Now it's Kenneth Hagin's job to get rid of that interfering demon. And he did. And he learned a big lesson in doing that, which he shared in one of his books. You heal the sick, Matthew 10:7-8. Okay, again, he called his 12 disciples, gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. He says, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. You command the mountains, Mark 11:23. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say to the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he shall saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Do you understand that? Jesus is saying, you will have whatever you say. Wow. Whatever you say. So say the right thing. Say the word of God. Say your commands. Take authority. Use that name of Jesus. He said, the mountain has to obey you. Has to obey you. Wow. You, and you, and you, and you, and you. Jesus said that's true for all of us. All we have to do is do it. You anoint the sick. James 5:14-15. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Wow. Pretty awesome. Okay. 2 Corinthians 12:9. His grace is sufficient. Do it for yourself. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. All he's saying here is God's grace is sufficient. He's paid the price. He's given us the authority. And now he's giving his strength to us to carry it out. We just need to do it. That's one way of copying Nike, I suppose. Do it. Just do it. Okay. Now, what the Bible does not say, it does not ask God to cast out demons, right? Luke 10:17 and Mark 3:14 and 15, we can see that, again, Jesus sent us to do it. We are not to ask God to rebuke the devourer, except for tithers. This is a very important exception. Malachi 3:10 and 11, tithers who can remind God that he has promised to rebuke the devourer on behalf of tithers. So those that give the full 10% up front are tithers, and tithing is 10% specifically. So for those that are tithers, God has promised to rebuke the devourer, Malachi 3:11. And he makes it very clear, he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast the fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. We have an example here of Yolanda with her daughter. And her daughter had had that fall, and the doctors were saying she was within just a few minutes of dying, that they had to operate. And she was like, Lord, I'm a tither. You have promised to deliver my daughter. And she stood on this scripture, and her daughter came through the surgery successfully, victoriously, better than before. And you're not to ask God to heal you. James 5:14 through 16 talks about calling for the elders of the church, people to pray for you. Mark 16 talks about Christians that can go forth and lay their hands on the sick. It's our job to go forth and do it. We're not to ask God to move the tree of challenge in our lives. Luke 17:6, the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say, or you might command unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Command. Do not ask God. God has given you the authority to do it. So, if it is to be, it is up to me. Let's do it God's way by utilizing the power and authority that he has invested in us through the name of Jesus. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.